This evening, turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop right there. Look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's start a little differently tonight. I want to ask you the question, and I want you to do self-evaluation, right? Honestly, evaluate where you are. Scale of 1 to 10. Are you surviving or are you thriving? Okay? Don't tell me. All right? Keep it to yourself. Scale of 1 to 10, where are you? Are you surviving or are you thriving? You got the number? You got the number? All right. I want to share with you. 5 is lukewarm. Right? You know what lukewarm is. Or how God looks at lukewarm. Let's not go with the old mentality of, well, Brother Doug, I've got a long way to go, and you know, that's an excuse. We use that as an excuse for not growing. And when we say that, we quietly dismiss it so that we don't have to worry about it anymore. But if you notice in the text that we read, I was reading this last week and it just grabbed me. It grabbed me in verse 3. How that God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything. He's given us everything that we need to thrive. As we read here, I want you to notice where we start in our quest to thrive. All right? And Peter begins with faith. In verse 1, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Do you realize that we all begin in the same place? You look around and you see some, you think, boy, he's a Bible guy. He really knows his stuff. And you see others and, boy, they're really faithful. And, you know, you look around. But do you realize that we all start at the same level playing ground? Do you realize Peter, an apostle, was no different than you are? Okay? He was a man. He didn't even have an advantage over you. Say, oh, Brother Doug, he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. That don't matter. That doesn't matter. He was equipped just like you and I are. And as you look at me, you say, oh, Brother, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be holier than me. No, Okay? No, that's a false assumption on your part. We all start with like precious faith at the same place, faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay? Now, mind you, God has different purposes and different plans for each of us. Okay? But we all start at that place of faith where we go back to that day where we confess Jesus Christ and made Him our Lord and Savior. And from that point forward, I want you to know, are you with me? I want you to know that you have everything you need to live a life of godliness. Okay? That's what Peter said. You've got all that you need. It begins at faith. Colossians 2:10 says, "And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." When you called upon Jesus, you were put in a position and given all you need to thrive. Hey, Brother Doug, why do I feel so inadequate? I don't know. All right? Because you're not inadequate. If you're inadequate, then Jesus is inadequate, right? But I want to give you this. Even though you've been given everything you need for life and godliness, it doesn't just happen. Okay? For example, when a baby is born, it's a beautiful sight, right? I love babies. I love babies. You look at them. Oh, they're precious. They have everything that they need to live. Right? But what's got to happen to them? They've got to grow. Right? They've got to grow into adult. They've got to mature. They've got they've just got to grow up. As a child of God, you've been given everything that you need. But are you growing up in Jesus Christ? If you're not, that's the whole problem. Just like that baby, when you were born again, you were given the genetic structure of glory and virtue. You were given everything you need to thrive. As a matter of fact, verse 4 says you become a partaker of the divine nature. Or you share in the divine nature. But the key to it all is to grow. Okay? That's why he starts in verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 5. And he says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." All diligence. And that word diligence, it talks about putting forth the effort. You want to know why I don't thrive as a child of God? Or when I don't thrive as a child of God? When I don't put forth the work. You've got to do the work. Brother Doug, what's the work? Prayer. Okay? Absolutely. How's your prayer life? Well, it's no good. You need to work on that. Right? Study. Time in the Word. It's the work that will promote my growth as a child of God. But when you look at it, the idea when he says, give all diligence, it's be willing to do the work. Whatever it takes. With all diligence, add to your faith. That word add is interesting in that. It means to supply generously. So he's saying, supply your faith. Support your faith. If you stop at faith in Jesus Christ, you will never be what you can be as a child of God. Okay? There are a lot of people that have the mentality, well, I'm saved, it really doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. It doesn't stop when you're saved. It begins when you're saved. Right? And so, says, add to your faith, is supply generously or support your faith with virtue. The New American Standard, and once again, it's a little more closely aligned with the Greek. The New American Standard says, in your faith, supply moral excellence. I kind of like the Doug Hambrick translation, which is supply your faith with virtue. Okay? You've got to... That word virtue is excellence, and it's never... The idea of never settle. Do you ever have the idea that that's good enough? You ever been working somewhere and somebody said, that's good enough for government work? You ever heard that? Yeah, we used to use that on the farm a time or two. It's good enough for government. Well, never get into the Christian mentality where you say, oh, that's good enough. Oh, I spent time in the Word twice this week. That's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. Never have that settled attitude. I'm told that the Greeks, the word excellence means fulfilling your purpose. It means knowing why God put you here and pursuing that purpose to the very best of your ability. That's excellence. Do you look at your Christian walk as something that you pursue the excellence of God? I want to be the very best that I can possibly be. Add to your faith, add to your faith virtue. Then add to your virtue what? Knowledge. Knowledge. As we know that word, it's just information, possession of information. But as it's used 13 times in this little bitty book of 2 Peter. And it means it's more than just an intellectual knowledge. It means a living participation in truth. Do you realize as we read, as we study, it's not just to know. It's not impressive what you know. It's impressive how you use what you know. I've heard people say, have you ever heard anybody make the statement, they don't pay me for what I do, they pay me for what I know. Most people with that mentality is overpaid. Right? It's not just about what you know. It's not just being a Bible scholar. It's how you take what you know and apply it. And it doesn't stop with reading through the Bible. It doesn't stop with allotting time. It's do you put it into practice? Do you have the wisdom to take the Word of God and apply it to your lives? Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge. Here's the great one. Add to your knowledge what? Self-control. Interesting word. One Greek translation defined that word self-control as mastery. I like that. It's mastering yourself. Have you mastered yourself? You know the idea. It's when you're able to control you. Control what you say. Control your temper. Control your actions. That's what he's talking about. If you want to grow as a child of God, and we do want to grow, amen? You're going to have to control you. I can't control you. Nobody else can control you. Only you controls you. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. See how God views it? A man that can control himself or a lady that can control themselves, whether it be what they say or what they do, is great strength. Very seldom will you impress people by telling them off. Very seldom. Very seldom will you impress people by losing your cool. But I'll tell you what is impressive. A man that can bite his tongue, even when everything within says, give him a piece of your mind. See, that's self-control. You want to grow as a child of God? That's what we have to master. Master ourselves. Then add to self-control, perseverance. very big one. Add to self-control perseverance. That it's a patient endurance, a steadfastness. The idea behind that word is the ability to endure even when it gets tough. Let's face it, we don't like tough times, do we? And oftentimes, or more times than not, when the times get hard, the first thought is, I don't have to do this. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to go through this. But listen, what if God's teaching you things as you go through this? I think we live in a society that has become so throwaway when life gets difficult, we just back up and quit. That's not who we are as a child of God. So many times I've seen tragedy strike a family and they just fall completely away. I've heard people make comments like, I'm mad at God. Really? No. Don't get mad at God. Be mad at Satan, the one that wants to destroy you. You know? Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Be willing to see it through to the end. I wonder, as I was reading this, I thought about old Peter. And Peter, as he denied Jesus Christ, I wonder how many times he regretted that. I bet more than once. But you know what Peter's problem was? You know why he could write this? Because Peter's problem was, remember, that started when Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night's over, before the rooster crows. Peter says, no, not me. I'll be killed for you. Jesus said, no, you won't. And then when it came down to it, Peter had to make a decision. Oh, you're one of those. You were with Jesus. Now it's time to decide. Am I going to see it through? Am I going to stand by what I believe? Or am I going to back up? Peter backed up. No, not me. Second time. You were with Jesus. No, not me. The third time. You were with Jesus. No, not me. And he cursed, you know, to convince him. What was the problem? The problem was Peter didn't see it through. He wasn't willing to pay the price. Oh, listen, my friends. We need people today who are willing to pay the price, no matter the cost. Serving Jesus faithfully. Add to self-control perseverance. Add to perseverance godliness. The word godliness in the Greek, it literally means to worship well. And it was used to describe a man that was right with God. A man that stood out from the crowd. A man with qualities that make people notice him. Well, that guy's different. That's what Peter's talking about here. When he says, add to your endurance or perseverance godliness, he's saying, be that individual that lets the world see what you believe by how you live. You know, where you make yourself noticeable not by what you say, but by how you conduct your life. That's godliness. You know, when we talk about having the genetic makeup of God, and that's what this describes. It describes a man that has the DNA, divine DNA, you know? When we talk about having God's DNA within us, and my goodness, that should stand out as a light in this dark and sinful world, shouldn't it? That should be like a spotlight. Add to perseverance godliness, the qualities that make you who you are as a child of God. And then finally, in verse 7, add to godliness brotherly kindness. Philadelphia, okay? Brotherly love. That's what that word is. That means we're supposed to love one another. Do you love one another? Amen. God has blessed us with a loving church family, and I appreciate that so much about Victory. I love you and appreciate you for the love that you have for one another. But he goes on another step. Brotherly love, or brotherly kindness that it talks about there, and then a completely separate word, and love, agape. He goes from brotherly love, loving the brethren, to a sacrificial love. To a love no matter the cost. A godly love. You see, It's love like that that's the reason you're a child of God today. It's love like that that took Jesus to the cross of Calvary. And it's a love like that that you and I should be striving for. That even when it's hard, even when you have to give up something, sacrifice something, you choose to love anyway. And then look, how important are these things that I've just talked about? Brother Doug, you know, we're all human and we all have our failures. But how important is it what Paul read or what Peter wrote here? He said in verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abound," okay, if you have these qualities in your life and these qualities are abundant in your life, you're working and growing in these qualities and emphasizing these qualities in your life. He said, if they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. Now I ask you to evaluate where you are in the Lord right now. A good way to evaluate where you are is to check your fruit. Check your fruit, your spiritual fruit. What's being produced in your life? He says, if you'll pursue these, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want the world to know the God that I serve. How about you? Peter says, here you go. This is how. This is how I can declare my Jesus to the world. A lot of times without ever saying a word. But look at verse 9. I didn't read this before, but I want to include it right now. Okay? Verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted." What does short-sighted mean? Short-sighted? Wouldn't we call that nearsighted? Is that what nearsighted is, Malia? That means you can only see things right here. You can't see things out there. That's farsighted? Yeah. Anyway, I guess I should leave the eye doctoring to Malia. I'm sorry. But how guilty are we at only being able to see what's right here? Why do I lose my cool? Because I can only see the situation that I'm in right now. Why am I not willing to sacrifice today for the glory of God for the rest of eternity? Because I can't see eternity. All I can see is what I'm going to have to do without today. He said, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness." You can't see. You can't see. I find it really interesting how we can have such an emphasis on down the road. We save for retirement, don't we? And that's good. You've got to be willing to see what it's going to be like when you're 70 or 60 or whatever, you know, age you're shooting for. And so today we'll take part of our budget and we'll put it in a bank account so that when we're 70 or whatever age we're going to retire, so it'll be there. Why? We can see ourselves at 70. You want to know a glorious thought? Can you see yourself in eternity? Can you see yourself standing before Jesus Christ, accountable for what you've done in this life? You know, the Bible tells us we'll all stand before Jesus Christ as children of God. We'll all stand before Him, giving account of things that done in this flesh, whether they be good or bad. One of these days, we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to have to say, or we're going to have to give an account of what we did in this life. Can you see that time? Let me ask you, can you see beyond that time, the glories of heaven? I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I sure enjoy thinking about it. How about you? You know, we talk about streets of gold, and no more tears and no more sorrows. Can you see that far in advance? That's what Peter's saying. You got to be able to look beyond this life because, beloved, this life is not all there is. There's more than what you see right here, right now, today. There's more than the circumstance that you're going through. You know? Sometimes we can't see because life gets difficult. And that's just a fact of life. Sometimes life gets tough, doesn't it? But you know what? I can assure you with every ounce and fiber of my being, if you're a child of God, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Because when this life is done, we're going to eternity with Jesus. And He's prepared a place for us eternal in the heavens that'll never fade away. It's going to get better. You know, be far-sighted enough where you're willing to live today for the glories of eternity. Now, that's Peter's point here. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to receive Jesus. You see, He loved you so much. That word agape that I talked about earlier, a sacrificial love. Jesus was the one that really showed us what agape love is. When He gave His life upon Calvary because you're a sinner. He died so that you could have eternal life. That was the sacrificial love. Have you called upon Him as your Lord? Maybe you're here tonight and you've been too short-sighted. Maybe it's time for a change of direction. Maybe you just need to come and spend time at the altar. Maybe the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and you want to take that move tonight. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, we're going to have a verse of invitation, and I would invite you, will you come and will you make things right with God? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word and for the reminder, Lord, that we read about from Peter and from You, Lord, because it's Your Word. Help us to be farsighted. Help us to see the things in eternity. And to see that those things that we may sacrifice today pale in comparison to the glorious rewards that await us in eternity. Help us to endure. Help us to add and supply our faith with all of these characteristics in an effort to grow for Your honor, for Your glory. Lord, now in this invitation, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name.